moment a man who needs no introduction. He is known and studied worldwide. He is a legend in his own time. Zachariah Sitchin, who, by the way, has some breaking news, an exclusive for us tonight that he'll be telling us about. As I speak to you, the Desert Devil winds are blowing. It's 40 miles per hour plus out there. The winds are howling across the desert. So think about that wherever you are. You probably have better weather than we do. I would like to welcome a new affiliate once again, KRKY. Yet another one in Dillon, Colorado, 930 on the dial. KRKY, Dillon, Colorado, 930 on the dial. Hello there, M.R. Murray. He's GMPD there. Thank you. Thank you very much. Nice to be on the air in Dillon. You have no idea what you're in for. You're about to find out. Remember, stations, we do pre-feeds 3 hours prior to the start of the live show. We do 3 hours of pre-feeds from the previous night. Well, going all the way back east where it's late. We've only got an hour with Zachariah Sitchin, so you know who he is. The world knows who he is. You know about what he thinks about the Anunnaki. And I think you know that he does all this, and this is why people listen to Zachariah, not because he pulls his information from the cosmic behind, but because he pulls his information from ancient knowledge, ancient writings. So what he has to say really counts. I suggest you listen very closely. Zachariah, welcome to the program.
Good morning, Art.
Good morning to you.
It's good to be on the program again with you.
Yes, it's been a long time, hasn't it?
Well, at the right moment, we somehow managed to get together.
Yeah.
And there are really many exciting things to talk about tonight.
Okay. I think that people understand, well, maybe they don't, your theory about the Anunnaki, and I suppose that can be briefly stated, but ancient knowledge, this, what you say to these people tonight, whenever you're on, doesn't come from just nowhere. It comes from translations and ancient knowledge, doesn't it?
Yes.
So, talk a little bit about where you get all of this information.
As I may remind your listeners, I'm sure many of them are familiar with my writings. My first book, The 12th Planet, was published exactly a quarter of a century ago, and based entirely on the writings, first of all, of the Sumerians, who wrote on clay tablets beginning some 6,000 years ago,
mm-hmm.
then about the evidence left behind by the subsequent civilizations of the ancient Near East, the Hittites, the Egyptians, etc., and combining all that with the Bible, the Old Testament, and especially the book of Genesis, what I have found was that what others consider, know about, but consider as myths, as mythology, was really the recording of highly sophisticated knowledge that in a nutshell told us the following. That soon after our solar system was created, it was invaded by a planet that was thrust out of its own solar system, was passing near ours, was drawn into the center of our solar system, had a collision with an existing olden planet in our solar system. As a result of that collision, three things happened. The Earth and the Moon came into being, the asteroid belt came into being, and the invading planet got caught into a vast elliptical orbit around our Sun, into our vicinity about every 3,600 years, and becoming thus the 10th planet, or as the ancients called it, the 12th member of the solar system, because they counted Sun, Moon, and 10 planets.
When it does come back, Zachariah, when it does come back, how close does it come to Earth?
Between Mars and Jupiter.
Between Mars and Jupiter?
Yes.
That should be quite something.
Yeah, that's pretty close.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. And according to those tales, that planet coming from some other solar system in the cosmos, brought into ours and transmitted to what we call the planet Earth, the seed of life that we nowadays call DNA. Now, that happened billions of years ago. About 450,000 years ago, intelligent beings from that planet traveled in space, arrived on our planet in search of gold, at some point needing assistance, needing manpower, jumped the gun on evolution and took the hominids who had already evolved on Earth and combining their genes with those of the hominids brought about some 300,000 years ago as Homo sapiens. This is the essence of the story.
We were created to mine gold for...
To mine gold. Yeah, but in time they gave us civilization, and if you check it, you see that the stages of our advancement happened about 600 years.
Now, I wonder if that accounts, Zachariah, for why when we touch gold and feel gold and think about gold, especially if you just touch it, put gold in your hand, you're feeling something more than just something valuable. There's something about gold.
Well, this infatuation with gold is really inexplicable unless you accept the ancient tale. The people in the Americas refer to gold as the tears of the gods, and so on. Now, against that background, Art, here I'm sitting a few weeks ago and reading the two parallel reports by the two teams that have deciphered the human genome.
They just deciphered the genome,
yeah,
I think, in middle
just
February.
Just a few weeks ago.
And they did it way ahead of time. They said, wow, we really got done fast, much faster than
well,
we thought.
Well, we welcome that, of course. And they said that the human genome has about 30,000 genes, has about 3 billion letters of the DNA alphabet, but they are lumped into effective genes only about 30,000.
And they thought there were a whole lot more, didn't they?
They did, but...
They
did. Thousand.
We really got done fast, much faster than
well,
we thought.
We welcome that, of course. And they said that the human genome has about 30,000 genes, has about 3 billion letters of the DNA alphabet, but they are lumped into effective genes only about 30,000.
And they thought there were a whole lot more.
But 30,000 is pretty complex. Then they found out two things, one that was highlighted in all the headlines and one that you found hidden only and discovered only when you read the reports very carefully. The major finding was that the findings are humbling because they discovered that we are no different from chimpanzees by no more than 1% of the genes. In other words,
awfully close.
We have 30,000, so about 300 of them make the difference between us and chimpanzees. We have barely twice as many genes as the fruit fly or some worm, etc.
Twice as many as a worm?
About twice, yes.
Yeah.
And that they found and they really traced how the DNA that somehow arrived on Earth, and more they say through a comet, something from outer space brought it, which is corroboration of the ancient tale, and then how it grew through bacteria and invertebrates, like a tree of life, showing how we arrived with all the things we are proud of.
So then bacteria then had some job in the formulation of our present genetic structure.
Right.
Present genetic structure.
Right. Now here comes the sleeper. They found out that as they trace the genetic development on Earth from the lowly bacteria to the intelligent human beings, there are 223 precisely genes that cannot be accounted for through this progression from bacteria to invertebrates to vertebrates. And none other than the science editor of Newsweek referred to those genes as alien genes.
Alien genes?
Alien genes.
Okay, so...
That's in Newsweek.
So now they've completed the whole genetic... it was amazing they did it so quickly in mid-February. This
well,
is really important
years,
for the audience
but,
to understand.
Yeah,
it took a few years. Not as many as they thought, so we're simpler than they thought.
Right.
And then after everything is said and done, there's 223 genes that...
that cannot be accounted for through this evolutionary process.
When
I read that word, alien genes, I said to myself, I'd better contact that science editor and everybody else. And the way to do that was to put the story on my website, which people, by the way, are welcome to look up. It's sitchin.com.
Yeah, we've got a link.
And I said, and I called it the case of Adam's alien genes. Now, if you ask those scientific groups, how did we get those mysterious or unexplained genes, they say, well, at some point, maybe a group of bacteria gave it to us.
In other words, they don't know.
Well, the Bible says that at some point, the group, the entity, the divine beings that the Bible calls Elohim, which is a plural word in Hebrew, should be translated gods, but usually translated God with a capital G, that they talked to each other and said, let us fashion the Adam in our image and after our likeness.
That's right.
Now, if the difference between us and chimpanzees is caused by bacteria, then you must say that it is a group of bacteria that got together and started to talk to each other and said, well, why don't we fashion an intelligent being to look like us? But we don't look like bacteria.
Well, some would say, perhaps, Zachariah, that those bacteria were directed by the hand of God. Big G.
Okay. So now we get to what I really want to... I don't know if it's shocking or not, but here it is. On April 8th, which is what, about 11 days ago, the New York Times carried an article on its front page, headlined, Evolutionists Battle New Theory on Creation. And the article said that the so-called creationists, who, you know, disagree with pure evolution, are up to some new tricks. First of all, they are not those Bible Belt guys. They are all scientists. And what they say is, well, yes, there was evolution, but at some point, somebody interfered, and this, the intelligent designer.
The intelligent designer.
Right.
Uh-huh.
And the whole new theory about which the those who believe in evolution complain, because now it's scientists who say that, is called the intelligent design theory. Now, listen carefully, please. The fifth paragraph in the New York Times, and I'm reading from my copy, which is late city edition of April 8th, says as follows. This designer, you know, the intelligent designer, may be much like the biblical God, with the capital G, proponents say. But they are open to other explanations, such as the proposition that life was seeded by a meteorite from elsewhere in the cosmos, or the New Age philosophy that the universe is suffused with a mysterious but inanimate life force. Hmm. Now, the same story was carried on the web in the New York Times and must be the original early version. I have that in front of me as well. And the fifth paragraph in the website says as follows. This designer may be much like the biblical God, proponents say, but they are open to other explanations, such as the proposition that life was seeded by a meteorite from elsewhere in the cosmos, possibly involving extraterrestrial intelligence. Or the New Age philosophy that the universe is suffused by a mysterious universe. Now, did you catch the difference?
Oh, yes, of course I did.
The words possibly involving extraterrestrial intelligence were excised
by
whoever in the late City edition of the New York Times.
Who would you imagine applied the pressure that made those words disappear, Zachariah?
Well, frankly, I have no idea. But I think, you know, sometimes they say that one has to read between the lines, but in this case, one has to read the lines.
Oh, yes. Well, or try to imagine the missing lines. That's a riot. That's an absolute. So
well, now this is the first time, by the way, Art, I mentioned it to anybody.
Well, now Zachariah,
I'm letting you and your listeners have this.
The story, Zachariah. It is a scoop, and you know, though, we have to say, let's think. What are the odds that? Oh, you know, it was just a typo. In other words. Somehow, in that printing, it got mixed up and forgot that sentence.
Art, I didn't know that you're so generous.
I'm not. I'm just sort of. No. I'm trying to get the listeners out there to understand how unlikely it is that incredibly important sentence would simply just be there in the first place and then disappear in the second place. We could imagine all kinds of things about who got behind its disappearance. That's amazing, absolutely amazing. So I'm
whoever excised it is another matter. The point is that in the original version of this article on the front page of the New York Times, whoever wrote it and whoever accepted it in its original version actually accepted everything that I say the Sumerians said 6,000 years ago.
Of course.
And to me, this is so exciting and sensational that, I really don't sleep nights, Art, because I'm so overwhelmed by all these discoveries. Now, this is in genetics. Now, a day before the New York Times article, there is an article in a magazine called Science News reporting the findings of a French observatory that has been working, by the way, to my knowledge. I've tried to contact them from time to time about the search for what they call Planet X, meaning the 10th and the unknown.
Yes.
And they say, here's the opening paragraph in that report, Far beyond the solar system's 9 known planets, a body as massive as Mars may once have been part of our system, and it might still be there.
You know, I read the same story. Are you, Zachariah? Yes, I know. I read exactly the same story, and when I read it, I thought of you. Actually, they say that might still be there. Absolutely fascinating. Zachariah, we're at the bottom of the hour, so hold on. That's plenty to digest for one segment. Oh, my. So our genetic makeup is all recorded, duly recorded now. They're done. There's these genes that they can't account for. These alien genes is what they're calling them. And then there's that alien exorcism in the New York Times. Oh, my, my, I'm sure Zachariah's smiling. I'm Art Bell. This is Coast to Coast AM.
Take a ride. The phone is open at 1-775-727-1295. And to reach out on the toll-free international line, call your AT&T operator. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell on the Premier Radio Network.
I don't know if you understand the significance of what you just heard, but I'd call a friend and have him listen to a replay, and I'd certainly be in tune for the next half hour. Then comes Danion Brinkley. I'm Art Bell. Then you go to my website, as always, www.artbell.com. Go to and tonight's guest info, and you can go to Zachariah's website. You can read about everything he just told you and a whole lot more so that you might understand why he's so excited right now, since science is beginning to underline what he thinks with regard to our origins. No small matter, our origins, right? So science is now underlying everything he's saying, and I'm sure put a big smile on his face, right?
Are you asking me? Are you telling me?
I can hear the smile. Yeah, that's good enough, and you don't get that very often on radio.
People say that whenever they want to take a picture of me at my lectures or seminars, they say, you never smile.
Oh, so the next time someone wants to...
Now I'm smiling.
The next time you want a good picture of Zachariah, you bring a copy of the New York Times with you, and you hold that behind the camera.
That's a good idea.
What do you think, Zachariah, that would happen if the Anunnaki came back? What would there be their intention be for us now?
Well, this is... I of course... pondered that question many times, not only if they come, when they come, etc. Now, we have to go back to, because I keep telling people who come to hear me, and by the way, if I may say this, on my website, any forthcoming lectures or seminars will be listed so people can look it up.
All right.
So they can write to me at my PO Box. 577 New York, New York, 10185.
Wait, that's too fast.
PO Box 577.
Right.
New York, New York, 10185.
10185. Okay.
By the way, I'm so old-fashioned that I answer all my mail.
Do you really?
Every letter.
Imagine a lot of people would write to you just to have a letter from you and have your name.
That's fine, too. I think if people take the time, if they read my books and think about them and take the time to write a letter to me, they're entitled to a response. I really believe, and I keep stressing that the past is the future, you know. Though my writings are rooted really in the Old Testament, but I'm familiar with the New Testament, and especially the book of Revelation, which repeats what the Hebrew prophet had said, that the first things shall be the last things, and the last things are the first things. Alpha.
What is that? What do you think that means?
That means that things are cyclical, and what happened in the past will be repeated. And what we know is that in one instance, and that was the great flood, the deluge, according to the Bible, God decided that mankind did not turn out right, was evil, was whatever, and said, we will use the opportunity of this deluge that the earth will be flooded to wipe mankind off the face of the earth. And then 8 verses later, it says that the same God said, well, let me save mankind by telling a guy called Noah to build the ark and to take with him this and do this and do that, and so that life on earth and mankind will not perish.
Yes, except that, of course, there was no admittance to two Nephilim under the ark.
well, So the more detailed tales of the Sumerians on which this biblical tale is based say that there were two leaders. One was named Enlil, meaning Lord of the Command, who was the strict one, and one was Enki, Lord of Earth, who was the chief scientist and was involved in the very genetic engineering which we discussed in the first part of this program. And each time the strict one said mankind is no good, it didn't turn out right, they proliferate too much, they are evil, etc., etc. And I think you will agree with me, Art, that especially in the last century, there was enough evil to justify mankind being punished. The other one, Enki, said, they are really as he said, you know, they have our genes. We intermarried with them. Many of their offspring are us. We cannot destroy them. Now, who is the leader now? if it's Enlil, I'm serious.
I know you're serious. You're talking about if they come back.
If he is the leader, and he leads the group that you know pays us the next visit, and he may say, I told you so. They are evil. They are no good. Let's be done with them. If it's Enki, he may say, well, you know, some are bad, some are good, but after all, they are our creations. We are responsible for them. We gave them civilization. If they know how to use nuclear weapons, we taught them, because we the Anunnaki, use nuclear weapons in the fights between us around 4,000 years ago. So now mankind also knows how to do it. I really don't know who the leader is, and it may go either way.
You know, Zachariah, it's a little like being a Palestinian and watching for the next Israeli election, huh? Understand what I mean? In other words, you got it.
You can think of many examples, but who knows? I really don't know.
That's a particularly good one, though. Of course, Palestinians right now are finding out the last election was probably the guys who would have erased Earth. Anyway.
Well, they.
Without
getting into politics, they didn't take the best offer that was given to them, so.
But the point is, we have to. Wouldn't one safely, maybe not safely, but could one presume that there has been a continuing spiritual evolution for even the Anunnaki, politically and socially, in all this time, and as we are evolving spiritually, and that perhaps they would be kind to us?
Could be. Well, you know, if you really trace, as you know, Art, from that very first book that was really the cornerstone, the 12th planet, there are 8 by now, the latest being the Cosmic Code, which really deals with the encoded messages in the biblical text, and I point out there that the way we run on our computer digitally is the way the code is in the Bible, because the letters are really representing numbers. So there is definitely been an evolution among them too. First of all, because those who were here represented several generations. There were those who originally just came from their planet, and many went back, some stayed. Then they had children and offspring. Then there was the intermarriage before the deluge. Then there were other so-called demigods. The second book that I wrote, The Stairway to Heaven, deals with the search for immortality. The so-called demigods, be it Sumerian or Egyptian, believe that they are entitled to the longevity of the so-called gods, with a small g. So there were many, they were not uniform. You're quite right in pointing their debt out.
Zachariah, wouldn't this be an important consideration? Now that we have unraveled the human genome, wouldn't it be a sort of a race to see if we could begin manipulating our own genetic code before the Anunnaki return?
Well, first of all, I want to say that as far as cloning is concerned, that what we can do, we will do. No, Lord, nobody will stop us.
Yeah, but forget clones for a second. Think about just manipulation of our genetic. In other words, if we were originally designed by the Anunnaki as gold miners, then they would have designed our genetics so that we weren't as smart as we might be. We use 10% of our brain, I'm told. So
right.
If we're able to manipulate our own genetic code, by the time they get back, we could be, well, a whole new species.
And then?
And then we could meet them on their own ground.
Well, aren't we trying to do that already by trying to get to Mars? And each time we get frustrated there?
Well, we have a new mission on the way now, you know.
Yeah, I know. Well, it'll take us, 2-3 years to get there. But Mars is really the best example to point to and to discuss the issue that you just raised. Because there's absolutely clear photographic and other evidence that there are remains of artificial structures on Mars.
Oh, you have seen the new photographs?
Yeah, I've seen the new photographs. And
have you been hearing what Sir Arthur Clarke has been saying?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And Tom von Schlandern and others. And Mars not only had little water, had actual seas and lakes, and had an atmosphere and was habitable.
That's right.
And the question is, you know, even those like Arthur Clarke or Tom von Schlandern or others who are on the establishment side of the fence, say, look, these are not artificial structures. This is these are not natural structures. These are artificial. These are man-made, etc.
That's right.
They all stop at some threshold. And the question is, so if they are not natural, who?
Mm.
Who built them? Who erected them?
Yes, of course.
And everyone, and this goes to the same article in the New York Times, everyone, when they see the word extraterrestrial, they get frightened.
Yes.
Why?
Well, I don't know, but here's an even better question. If we really do go to Mars, or our next probe finds evidence, absolute evidence of life, large life, as Sir Arthur Clarke said, perhaps even old life, it doesn't matter,
yes,
it's going to be very important news, and will it get into the same New York Times that removed a sentence about aliens?
No.
In other words, would we be told?
Well, you and I know that so much is already known and is not being told. I've tried to, for example, in my book Genesis Revisited, I discussed the existence at that time, hardly known, now maybe more people know about it, that after some discoveries made in 1983 and the meetings between President Reagan and Gorbachev, a international commission was established under the Austrian State Department, but including representatives from all major powers, and its mission, as expressed in a document called the Declaration of Principles, was how to delay for 48 hours the news that a contact has been made with an alien intelligence.
48 hours.
Now, you know, if you ask, you know, the officialdom, and they say, is there another intelligence in the universe? They say, well, probably yes, but, you know, with so many billions of stars and planets and galaxies and all that. But this is light years away, you know. The chance of communication is nil. Now, if this is so, what is the point in delaying the news for 48 hours?
That's a very good point, and I'm trying
And I give in my book, Genesis Revisited, the text of that summary document signed by all those concerned a few years ago.
Gee, what would you do with 48 hours if you had it? Anyway, I can't think what you would do. Maybe you'd get the military out in the streets. I don't know. That'd be about the best you could do.
I know what they would do. I know what they would do.
What would they do?
They would call Art Bell and say, can we be on your next program? That's why they need 48 hours.
I could schedule faster than that.
Well.
If I have to.
I mean, the only way is really to treat it as a joke, right? Because nobody can be serious and say, if an alien intelligence, you know, not beings, God forbid, but an intelligence, you know, like a stone that can think and contacted us,
yeah.
we should delay the news for 48 hours.
48 hours. I've interviewed the people who run SETI many times, and they have always denied that there would be any delay at all. And I've gone round and round and round with them about that. Listen, I want to ask you, Zachariah, before we run out of time, did you pick up the telephone and call up the New York Times and say, hey, guys, what happened to that sentence?
No.
You didn't?
No. First of all, I'll tell you the truth. When I saw that, when I read it for the first time, when I read release of their website was the first thing I read.
Right.
And I saw this extraterrestrial, and I thought to myself, wow, you know, on the front page of the New York Times.
Yeah.
And then others called me and said, hey, did you see that? They say, maybe it's even an extraterrestrial intelligence that is the so-called the great designer, etc., etc. And then when I arranged the papers, the document, I mean, there's so much more to talk about, so we'll have to do it another time. All the papers in this, including the front page, and I'm looking for that sentence, and I don't see it.
Right.
To myself, what, did I imagine it? What about all those who called me about it? And then I read word for word, comparing paragraph 5, and I see that on the front page, the city, late city edition, it just continues as if those words possibly involving extraterrestrial intelligence were never in the text. So this revelation came to me as I was preparing for this interview with you.
Tonight, that fast, huh? My. Well, so they even had time to call them up.
I don't think I'll call them up because,
no.
Well,
some of my listeners will.
That's up to them, but... But I suggest that they look up the New York Times website from April 8, 2001.
Yes. And then compare it to
and
the...
And then compare paragraph 5 to the later... But some people who called me had the edition of the New York Times, which had those, you know, crucial words.
So it was between editions that these words just somehow disappeared.
Well, somebody must have read it and said, hey, fellows, you know.
The biggest contiguous typo in New York Times printing history.
maybe there'll be a correction. I don't know.
Well, at the very least, if you don't call, I guarantee you a lot of my listeners will. Zachariah Sitchin, as always, it is an incredible pleasure to have you here. And every time you're here for 1 hour, I always say, hey, Zachariah, how come I always only get 1 hour? And you always say, oh, Art, next time we'll have more time.
No, well, you know, there is the time difference.
Yeah.
Now it's already 2 a.m. in New York.
Well,
and,
say the words
and,
anyway.
And I'm not as young as you are.
I know, but say the words anyway. Say sometime Art will do a longer show.
Sometime Art will do a longer show.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night, Zachariah. Well, that was something. That was really something, folks. We invite you to do your own comparison with regard to what the New York Times did. As always, think for yourself. I'm Art Bell. This is Coast to Coast.
This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell from the Kingdom of Nye.
If for any reason at all you missed the last hour with Zachariah Sitchin, find a computer and go listen to it. That's all I can say about Zachariah Sitchin. It was an incredible hour, and we've got incredible hours coming up. You're about to speak with a man, listen to a man, who was dead. You talk about NDEs. Danyon Brinkley was dead for 20 minutes.